I've got a short devotional that I want you to want to present for you, and it's from the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 25 to 31. Now, it's a scripture we all know, but we're going to read it again and hear it spoken again and get it in our spirits, this portion of scripture that Paul spoke in the book of Acts. He says, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. He's talking about he's going up to Rome, you see. He called the elders from the church in Ephesus to come down to Jerusalem, or down to the beach there somewhere, and he was talking to them. And he was telling them what they needed to do when he went, you see. And he said, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure of the blood of all men. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. He's talking to church leaders here, eh? Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. You can't take care of the flock if the church, the shepherd, can't take care of the flock if he doesn't take heed of himself from the dangers that are around, all right? So, take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He warned everyone, he says here in the scriptures. Do we believe the scriptures are right? He says here in the scriptures, he warned people for 3 years, ceased not to warn people for 3 years, every day and every night with tears. Very important on his heart. And it's important on God's heart that we understand what's going on here. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to get something out of this. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you for this historical account of Paul talking to the elders, Lord, from the church at Ephesus, when they came down to see him before he went up to Rome. We thank you, Lord, that the instructions that he gave to those elders, the church pastors, Lord, are relevant for us today, Lord, for the leaders of the church. And also, Lord, for the general congregation people, Lord. Not only for leaders, it's for everyone. Everyone who calls himself a Christian need to take heed to what this scripture is saying to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. In our short study of God's word tonight, I want to present a question, mainly to, but not only to, the people who God has called and given the responsibility to preach and teach here at Coastline Baptist Church. While we wait for God to answer our prayer, our earnest prayer, that he brings us a pastor. This question, however, also applies to each and every one of us, not just the leaders or the teachers or whoever. As we obey the call of God to be witness for him, it applies to us as we obey the call of God to be witnesses for him and present the gospel to the lost at every opportunity. The question is this. Will we, like Paul, be able to pronounce before God and men that we are pure from the blood of all men? For we have not shunned to declare unto the people all the counsel of God. All the counsel of God. The devil has many seductive strategies that are designed to pollute the gospel in his attempt to destroy the church. He wants to destroy the church, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, Jesus said. But that doesn't mean the devil doesn't want to, and he's doing everything he can to do it, but he won't succeed, all right? The devil has many seductive strategies that are designed to pollute the gospel in his attempt to destroy the church. Pollute the gospel. One of his most effective strategies, however, goes by the attractive title of positive Christianity. Have you heard of that? Positive Christianity. Both the philosophy and practical outworking of a positive Christianity is both dangerous and deadly. Now, we talk about that in this church, and we need to beware of it, and I reckon none of us here should ever get caught up in this thing, all right? But we've seen people come in this church who've sat under the teaching, even when Pastor James was here. His preaching was good. His preaching was good. And yet they still walked away into that other stuff. So we got to make sure we keep our wits about us, and we don't do that. Today, people are faced with the conflicts in every area of their lives, whether it be emotional, relational struggles, political uncertainty, or financial concerns. Many people become weary of the continual struggle and are therefore emotionally prepared to grasp at almost any straw to find relief. Something comes along, we don't fight. We're sick of fighting. Let's just join with them, all right? And so it is that many Christians who are non-confrontational in their character, who are looking for an environment free of conflict, become easy prey for this new brand of positive Christianity. Not everybody likes confrontation. Not everybody does. Some people are confrontational, right? But lots of people are a little bit timid about that sort of thing. And it's those people who are in danger of compromising and weakening and going with the flow instead of standing strong. So God puts us all together. He says, you that are strong, support the weak. Doesn't he? He says that in the Word. You that are strong, and a bit of confrontation doesn't frighten you and scare you. Watch out for those other people and look after them, you see. Unfortunately, many church leaders, including fundamental Baptist leaders, become weary of the continual battle against apostasy and compromise. They are being deceived by this prospect of a positive Christianity, a type of Christianity that avoids any suggestion of conflict and instead promotes love, peace and unity. They forget their calling, that's if David did hear it in the first place, to be soldiers for the Lord, ready for battle. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verses 3 and 4, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We had a message on that just a couple of weeks ago. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Who's chosen us to be soldiers? The Lord Jesus Christ. We want to please him. He also wrote to the Galatian church in Galatians 6, verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of doing right, all right? For in due season we will reap if we faint not. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep going. God says in due season we shall reap. We will reap the reward if we don't faint. Don't give up. The positive Christianity philosophy includes nothing of this. They don't want any of that sort of thing. Instead, just give up. It promotes the following excuses to weaken its stand for sound doctrine. Here's what I've got five excuses here that they use why we shouldn't worry about struggling and battling on and being soldiers. Excuse number one, the church has been too negative in its presentation of the gospel and in its relationship with people of other religions. Remember my message a couple of weeks ago where I spoke about Paul Chappell's compromise, compromising for the sake of unity? You might have been here, but I did. I preached on, I mentioned about, and I'll be mentioning him again this weekend too, the same thing. Paul Chappell, his compromise for the sake of unity. He wrote in an article recently, this is what he wrote, that if the watchword of my generation, his older generation, was separation, they were strong on separation, you see. He says, but the buzzword of younger leaders, church leaders, pastors, the young ones, the young ones that have come out of his college, right, is collaboration. That's the buzzword today. The watchword used to be separation. The buzzword, the popular word today, is collaboration. He meant collaboration with non-fundamentalist churches and their leaders. He's an example of someone who has fainted and dropped the sword so as to avoid losing popularity with his peers. He wants to remain big time, popular. The second excuse they use is that the world has not responded to the gospel because the church has emphasized the negative aspects of the gospel, like sin, negative, judgment and hell, rather than the positive, non-judgmental, unconditional love and forgiveness of God and the self-worth of the sinner. Have you ever heard that preached? God's unconditional love? It's not really, but you can get away with it. But his unconditional forgiveness. Have you ever heard that? God's forgiveness is not unconditional. It's dependent on our repentance. So God's forgiveness is not unconditional. It's dependent on repentance. Excuse number three they use is, the world will not listen to the church unless it becomes a united church, one that only emphasises the positive aspects of Christianity in its relationships with other professing Christians, as well as with those in the non-Christian secular world. We should be building bridges to those types of things. And excuse number four, a presentation of the truth of the Scripture does not require, and in fact it is hindered, by a simultaneous stand against compromise and error. They don't like to talk about those sort of things. And excuse number five, why we should water down our gospel messages, since negative Christianity has not succeeded in reaping a harvest of unsaved into God's kingdom, then it makes sense that only by changing to a positive Christianity can the needs of the church and the world be met. They've tried it with, you know, preaching about sin and repentance, and it hasn't worked. The churches are empty. Well, so? Did God say they're all going to be full? He said there's a narrow road. If you find a big wide road with lots of people on it, I'd jump off it and start looking for another little skinny road somewhere, because that's not how it's going to be in the last days and the end times. That such a philosophy is definitely unscriptural should be readily evident to anyone who knows and believes God's word. If you know the Bible, you'll know straight away that this is nonsense, all right? No one ever had a greater love for the truth or spoke it more lovingly, positively, and plainly than the Lord Jesus Christ, who in John 14:6 is called the truth. He's called the truth. But at the same time, no one ever exposed evil and error more specifically, forcefully, and negatively than he did. Positive Christianity is simply not scriptural. Those who faithfully preach the saving gospel of salvation by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, must be both positive and negative. We must emphasise the love of God, who sent his Son to be the Saviour, rescuing us from the penalty of our sins, but we must also warn sinners to flee from the wrath that is to come upon the whole world that has rejected God. The wrath to come. They're going to be in it. They don't get saved. Praise the Lord that the church does have many wonderful positive truths to proclaim, but it is also under orders to warn about and separate from evil and error. The seriousness of this new positive Christianity is that in making use of strategies that appeal to the people's flesh, it paves the way for the servants of the devil to work inside the church, protected by this unscriptural positive-only approach, which precludes any warning being given about grievous wolves entering among the flock and spreading their false teachings within the church. Hey, we make sure we talk about that in here. Our one-string guitar comes out quite regular. And I tell you what, it's keeping us protected. It's keeping us protected. The positive Christianity philosophy, not everybody likes that one-string guitar though, eh? Not everybody likes it. And people who come here that go to another church somewhere, they hear our one-string guitar because their church doesn't play that string. We talk about things that they don't mention in those churches for fear of driving people off. People that don't want to stand for truth. The positive Christianity philosophy not only gives Satan a green light to sow the seeds of doubt and denial within the church, but provides the needed time for these evil seeds to bear poisonous fruit. God has instructed us in many places in his word that we are to repudiate this unscriptural philosophy of positive Christianity. Just be more positive, all right? We're to repudiate it. And we are to separate from those who are promoting it. IB churches are promoting it. Say no more, all right? You know there's churches even in our district here that are promoting a positive Christianity, a more liberal Christianity, so that they can have collaboration with people, you see. So we're not doing that. Failure to take such strong steps against it will only result in the loss of our own spiritual discernment. There's a cost for doing that, disobeying God. There'll be a loss of our own spiritual discernment, which is the essential ingredient of the spiritual welfare of every true believer. Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 26 and 27, I take you to record this day that I am pure of the blood of all men. He's pure of the blood of all men. No one's going to be able to blame Paul that they went to hell, alright? I'm pure of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. All of Scripture is important, not just the little bits. The question that I asked at the little bits that people love, you see, the question that I asked at the beginning of this short study was, will we, like Paul, be able to pronounce before God and man that we are pure from the blood of all men? For we have not shunned to declare unto the people all the counsel of God. Will we continue to fight the good fight of faith, as Paul exhorted Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, or will we weaken our stand and conform to the positive Christianity in order to be popular and well spoken of among those who invite us to walk with them on their wide road of compromise and error? Along with Apostle Paul, who wrote to Timothy, his young lieutenant in the battle, in 2 Timothy 4:7, my hope and prayer for Coastline Baptist Church is that we can say along with Paul, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. And thank the Lord for that short little study, and hopefully